Recording, hungry.
So we are recording and
It's me this week, isn't it? Yeah. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle? Knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 6, episode 13, last of the season of Sticky Pickles, Sweaty Betty, and Oh Nelly. Wow, we've made it. 13 episodes this season. Excellent work.
13. Lucky 13. Or cursed 13. Last week was certainly a curse for me. I was ill, and that's why we didn't put out an episode last week.
Oh, she was so sick, guys.
I was so sick, guys. It was gross.
You would not have wanted her on the show.
No,
even left me hanging for 20 minutes going, where are you? Like, that's how sick she was, and she never does that.
Yeah, I was very, very ill.
But she's here now.
I am, and I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm mostly back to normal.
Yeah, we're guilty for not going, are you okay?
No, thanks for your concern. Yes, I'm so glad you're worried about me, everybody. I didn't even finish that episode of Ted Lasso. I was like halfway through it.
Ted Lasso, you didn't finish the episode of Sticky Pickles, which you're going to do now.
No, I know. I know.
You're going to tell us about Sweaty Betty.
I am going to tell you about Sweaty Betty. And the protagonist of my story, her name is not Betty. It's actually Gina. Okay. But Sweaty Betty, for those who don't know, is one of those sort of like, I don't know, not like a nursery rhyme, but one of those phrases that we might use to describe somebody who is very sweaty, even if their name is not Betty.
Yeah. I bet everybody in the world hated it. Yeah.
Right. Hilariously, I have a friend who's very chatty. Her name actually is Kathy, but there is a phrase, Chatty Kathy, for somebody who just talks a lot, or a nervous Nelly. Oh, and you have an Oh Nelly story. So anyway, we have a sweaty buddy, but her name is actually Gina. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Gina is of an affluent family. Her mother, Edith, is extremely image conscious, and Edith, dear old mom, the greatest sin that a young woman could possibly commit is to not be attractive. And by that, I mean be a fatso.
So mom is a fat shamer, is what you're saying.
Mom's a fat shamer. And Gina, because of course,
fantastic,
is a hefty gal. And in her teens, pretty much every summer was not filled with, you know, horse riding camp and a debutante ball, as maybe a wealthy young lady might do. I don't know what era I'm in, but let's just pretend that's a thing.
Debutante.
No, that's a thing in some parts of America still. Yeah.
It's, oh my God.
Not in my locale, but I believe in the South it is.
Miss America. Yeah. That's
honest to God. It's a totally different world for me. I know of its existence. No, Gina's summers were not even filled with fun sleepaway camps or like space camp or whatever. No, she went to fat camp every summer. Mommy Edith would make her go, and you know, she would drop Gina off at the beginning of the summer. Gina, I'm so proud of you. You're gonna put in the hard work and it's gonna be so worth it.
So what's and fat then, camp? Is it a place where you eat like rice cakes and then get tortured all day doing horrible exercise? Is that what it is?
I believe so. It's like where eating disorders are born, is my understanding. And future therapists of America go, yay!
Thanks, Mom, for the summer holiday. This is so great.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And every summer, by the end of it, Gina would, you know, step off that yellow school bus looking maybe 5 or 10 pounds slimmer. And Edith would go, look at you. You're my princess.
Well done, my little genie.
Yeah, see, I knew you could do it and show us your real beautiful self.
I can see a rib. I can see a rib, Gina. Yeah.
I knew you had an hourglass figure under there. I knew you were just hiding it under all that adipose tissue, you know. Anyway, so as you can imagine, Edith and Gina's relationship is fantastic, and Gina's self-esteem is amazing. So Gina, in her 20s, she is somehow, for some reason, still in contact with her mother. She is. But it's a fraught relationship, as you might imagine. But still, Gina's in her mom's life, and mom is in Gina's life. And anyway, but Gina's out of the house. She's in her 20s, young 20s, right? She's still figuring shit out. She's on her own health insurance. That's a big deal in the States when you get on your own health insurance. And One of the medications that Gina is on, unfortunately, makes her really sweat. Now, do you know about medications that can have weird side effects?
Yes, I had a very bad spinal drama, and I was on on 26 pills a day at one point.
You are kidding me. What?
Nope. I couldn't eat. I couldn't go to the loo. I couldn't do anything. It was horrific. It was a mess. But so yeah, I do completely understand, because I had to get off the pills after I'd had operation. And even though I'd been on them only for like a month or two, they were talking morphines and codeine, all these kind of garbage. I sweated for a week, like nonstop. Like,
you were in withdrawal at that point.
Withdrawal only for 2 months. And some people are on these pills for years.
Fuck!
Years. And then they're told, okay, you're fine now, get off them. Like, I can tell you from personal experience, I was shocked at how hard it was. Like, it wasn't like I wanted a pill, but I hated being disgusting and sweaty, and you know what I mean? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
Wow. Shit, girl. I didn't know that. The medication I'm on right now gives me terrible dry mouth, which is fantastic when you speak for a living into a microphone so everyone can hear your mouth noises. And I'm like, oh no. It's fantastic to have everyone hear you.
It's okay. You have a really good editor. So
thank God. Just keep that in him. Yeah. Anyway, you know, speaking
only this time, never again,
never again. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So Gina is on a medication that it's not withdrawal from the medication that's making her sweaty. It is literally the medication itself makes her sweaty. Now, all right, I'm going to drop two truth bombs on you. One is, if you are a fat person, of which I am, so I can speak to this. One, especially if you're a female, one of the greater areas of self-consciousness is being a sweaty fat person, because it's like one of the stereotypes is like you're out of breath.
Yeah.
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 Being a sweaty fat person or sweaty fat lady is like, oh, forget it. Like, you just might as well start playing.
It gives people carte blanche to judge. It's like, oh, she can't even carry her own weight, you know?
Yeah, she's just kill her. She's terrible. Yeah. Ugh. So being self-conscious of sweatiness is like a big deal when you're fat. And I can speak to that myself. And it's a big deal. It held me back from exercising for a lot of my adult life, actually. So,
oh, I thought about that. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Actually, last year when I did my bike ride and I was like sweating profusely training for that, it was like a religious thing for me of like, it's okay to sweat, even as a fat person. Imagine. It's weird, right? How fucked up your brain gets about stuff like that. So Gina is on this medication that unfortunately makes her sweat an inordinate amount. And she's already a fat person, so this is like one of her worst nightmares. Now, I'm saying she's sweaty, not like she gets a little bit clammy or like maybe her BO is a little stronger. I'm talking like streams of sweat on the regular. Like, it soaks through her clothes.
Oh, poor Gina. I feel for her.
It makes her makeup run if she's wearing makeup. She's got deodorant on pretty much every part of her skin you can imagine. Not just like the underarms, but like under boob, under tummy, under leg, like everywhere.
Poor fucker. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
And as you can imagine, being that sweaty, especially in the summer, it will make everything sticky. Like, your clothes will always stick and cling to you. And when you sit down, you leave a little puddle on the seat.
Yep.
Of the clammy seat. And of course, one summer she's visiting her mom, and her mom notices the little, like,
oh, fucking Edith says something or something.
And Edith is like, of course. Edith's like, well, you know, if you weren't so fat, and you know, her mom's not a graceful person. Like, you know, Gina, that's pretty gross to leave that kind of a mark on the seats wherever you go. Like, everyone knows you've been here, and now we've got a nice little imprint of your rear end.
Oh, God. Fuck you, mom.
Maybe if you weren't quite so fat, that wouldn't be an issue. And Gina, yeah, that's basically her reaction. She's like, not even going to tell her about the medication.
Like, and you wonder why people have disorders, okay? Seriously, people like this exist. I know parents like this. I know parents like this. They 100% exist.
Yeah, they think they're helping too. It's great.
No, yeah. Yeah, I have a friend of mine whose daughter is a little chub, right?
Yeah. Like,
whatever. Cute as a button, smart as a whip, brilliant, fantastic, sporty, everything great. And mom is petrified about her being overweight all the time. Now, again, I'm not a parent. What the fuck do I know about worrying about kids? Nothing. Okay. So take that with a grain of salt. But my heart goes out to that kid because I hear the mom worrying about her. Like, how does she cope when she's like 12 or 14? And girls can be so nasty. And I'm thinking, you're being nasty.
Yeah. She's getting it at home. Yeah.
Like, stop.
And newsflash. Yeah. So I was usually the hefty friend in a group of extremely skinny girls. And it was just, my skinny friends got guff for being skinny. Like, girls would be mean to each other for literally any reason. So you can be fat or not fat. You'll get guff either way. So it's like, you can't win. Yeah. Girls are just going to be shit to each other.
You can't win. Girls are just assholes until they're 18. Sorry, guys.
We suck until we hit like maybe... No, we're going to get canceled. We're going to get canceled. It's just... Yeah. So Gina wanted to do the, what? Mom, I'm fat? You know, but decided not to. Because she was actually invited to mom's lovely... I'm trying to think of how to describe this, like a beachside house with like an infinity pool, because it's not enough to be at the beach. You also need a pool at the beach.
A spa kind of.
Because mom's got money, right? Yeah. Mom's got like fuck you money and fuck you views and like fuck you poor people views. And
she's a twig.
And she's a twig, of course. She'll look at a salad and she'll like just kind of
look. I could possibly eat all that. Please take half away.
And then take the dressing will be on the side, you know, a packet of Splenda and a Tic Tac, right? So it's so. But Edith actually has invited Gina to her fuck you gorgeous house on the beach for a reason. Edith wants Gina to know that she's getting remarried. It's going to be Edith's second wedding. Now, a second wedding when you're rich is usually like an amazing party, right?
Oh my God!
I've never been to one, but I've seen them on TV.
Is this a bridesmaid thing?
Gina, as a daughter, has to be part of the wedding in some capacity. So bridesmaid's not really the right word. It's more just like wedding party. Because, I mean, do you really need a bridesmaid when you're your second wedding? I don't know. Maybe you do. I guess it depends on your stage of life. But she just kind of wants to make sure that Gina knows, like, she's going to be there in you know,
all the pictures.
All the pictures. And wouldn't it be nice if, you know, you just... slim down a little bit for the wedding, because you know it's going to be my pictures and I don't want you to
ruin could just it. Wrap yourself in saran wrap for 72 hours before the wedding and just dehydrate completely, and that would be fantastic. Gina, what do you think?
Gina, I just want you to look your best and feel your best, because you know these photos are going to be forever.
How awful for you if you have to look at these pictures in years to come and just be embarrassed and mortified
and see how you are fat in them. I know, it would be terrible for you at my wedding.
And imagine if you had a sweat patch as well. Oh God, Gina.
Imagine. God, yes. And this sweaty thing is just like, you know, because it's going to be a pastel theme. You can't,
thanks,
you know.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, it's going to be pastel, and I'm going to have you in like, I'm thinking maybe like a dusty rose situation, and you know, dusty rose with a patch of flop sweat. Not a great look. Not a great look. So yeah, so Gina's like, as you also are seeing, she's like, I can see exactly where this is going. Mom does not want me to look fat in her wedding photo. So she's like, well, Mom, I could wear a potato sack. I could wear something else. I could sit this one out, cheer you on from the sidelines. Maybe a burka. So Gina knows where this is going. She's like, yeah, my mom doesn't want me to be fat in her wedding photos. But guess what? I'm going to be, because her wedding's in like a month. So, you know, even if I took like 80 injections of Ozempic or some shit, or went on like a heroin diet, not that I ever would, but even if I did, it just never is going to happen. And my mom's never going to be happy. So fuck it. So she's just like, I'm just going to get the fucking dress and just be happy for mom, and mom will just have to deal. So the wedding day comes, and it's a nice, cool day. It's not a hot day. And Edith is letting out a sigh of relief. She's like, okay, my sweaty fat daughter won't probably be sweating up a storm, so it should be good because the weather's nice. Mm-hmm. At one point when the bride and groom are getting their photos taken, Gina has a nice little seat on one of the plastic chairs of the wedding, because of course it's on a beach. So it's a beach wedding, and she has a seat. And predictably, she's like, she gets up, she sees like the chair is all sort of damp from where she had sat, and her dress is all sort of damp. But she's like, you know, the sun will dry it off, and she goes and like just grabs a cocktail. Now, of course, while she's doing that, mom and the photos are done. she says, well, you know, my feet are killing me in these heels. So she takes a seat on the same seat that Gina just sat on. Mom's got a wet tuchus, and it's not a little bit. It's quite
damp. Yeah.
Damp.
It's a great word.
She's damp in the nether regions, and not in the fun way, guys. It's noticeable. So, but, and Gina sees this from across the way, and she's like, oh, shit. And the ceremony is supposed to start pretty soon. Now, Gina has to make a decision. Does she run interference for her mom and go, Mom, give yourself maybe 10 or 15 minutes in direct sunlight before we do this? Or does she go, fuck you, Mom, you get what you deserve, and just let the wedding proceed as normal?
Well, I don't know if it's fuck you to do nothing, right? Okay, so there's do something or do nothing. And in the do something camp, you can go and, you know, dry her off and tell her and get it all sorted. Or you could make it even worse, right? By, I don't know, dropping a drink on her or something awful.
So true. Or like just stand next to her and just like go, just kidding. Just get like a ton of sweat on her.
Yeah. Should you feel guilty because someone who's, it's their big day.
I don't think she needs to feel guilty. It is what it is, right? Yeah.
No, I'm just asking the question, right? That you're asking me. You're like, yeah, should you go over and go, okay, sorry. Because of course you're going to have a little bit of glee going, mm-hmm. fuck you, after the way you've been treated in fat camps and everything.
Should you be the bigger person?
Probably the answer is yes. Bigger, haha, yeah. Gina story.
Yeah, should you be the bigger person? Because, you know, if she goes over to mom, you sat down on a wet seat. I don't know why it's wet, but it just is. Mom might make a supposition and mom might go, oh, you fatty, you ruined my wedding photos, always sweaty and gross.
Which would sting, because it was true that Gina sat in that chair. That's the thing. Like, you're saving yourself a lot of mental anguish and hell not listening to that crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's terrible. And, you know,
it's terrible and gross.
Her sweatiness has to do with medication and nothing else. And it's not anything she can help.
It doesn't even matter. I think that's irrelevant. Yeah. She's just the way she is. And, you know, you love her, don't. And stop fucking changing her constantly.
And her mom's an asshole, like a total asshole.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't say a word. I'd be like, nope. I don't like Edith.
You get what's coming to you.
Yeah, I would just be like, I just look the other way and go, oh, get distracted by something else that was much more important. And yeah.
So Gina kind of takes a similar tack and she just goes, I hope somebody else says something, was sort of her mentality of like, I'm not going to say anything.
Sure, smart.
But there's other people around. I'm sure someone else would notice, you know what? This is not my problem. And maybe mom at some point will brush something off her bum and be like, oh, it's wet. Maybe I peed myself or something, whatever. And you know what? It's just, she'll be fine. There's plenty of other people who are fussing over her and they'll notice.
It's not the freaking end of the world, right?
Yeah, well, if you're wearing a white pantsuit in bright daylight, you know, maybe your lacy thong will show if your pants get wet, and you might not want that in your wedding.
This is what it's like for me every day, Mom.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. So Gina decides to just take the party of do no good and do no harm. Just let this be her problem. Sounds like a you problem, Edith.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Great.
So, oh, Nelly.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, so, Nelly. We have... that wasn't necessary. Why did I do that? Okay.
Well, the star of our show is Jane. So Jane has like a walled garden in a private UK village, right? Where she tends all her little plant babies. And this past week, Jane opened her doors to the community, the neighborhood, right? It's kind of like an open garden week, and people kind of shuffle around looking at different people's gardens and taking plant clippings and have a nose that you know, you're set up and all that stuff. And it's a week-long affair, and every day she greets dozens of neighbors who ooh and ah over her alliums and roses and wild garlic. And, you know, it was fantastic, but the last guest had just left, right?
Okay.
And she's starting to do a little tidying and she's just exhausted. You know, it's just like, oh my God. Like, it was wonderful, but I'm done.
wiped. You need a vacation from that. Yeah, I get it. Yep.
So she closes her cute little back gate, which is covered with wisteria.
Oh, so nice.
Right, locks it all up and takes down all the signs and pours herself a G&T, puts her feet up and goes, you know, what a great week. That was fantastic. But Jane can't stay still for very long. So 2 minutes later, she's up, she gets, right, and starts collecting rubbish and putting it outside. But when she goes out, the front door swings shut, right? Locks her out.
Ooh, yep.
Jane does have a side gate, but she just triple bolted it because she was tidying up the garden. The whole back of the house is wide open, but it's a walled garden.
Okay, yep.
She's like, okay, I could get over the gate, right? There's like a little space between the wisteria and the gate, and there's this like bit board. I'm sure I can get through that. I need a ladder.
Yeah. But
where does one get a ladder, Maria?
A neighbor, perhaps?
Right. Okay, so this is like, right, just so you get an idea, this is 5 p.m. summer afternoon or summer evening.
Okay, so people are around.
People are around.
It's not like it's 2 in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, but some neighbors are probably still working, right? So you're kind of looking up and down the neighborhood. You're going, they're the professionals. They're still on Zoom calls. Oh, they do yoga. They're busy. They're retired. They're gardeners. They'll have a ladder.
Yes. Yep.
Retired gardeners.
A pretty good bet. Yes.
So they have no kids. They're not working. So anyway, the curtains are open. They're probably home. So she knocks on the door. Jane knocks on the door, explains the problem. Nellie, in her early 70s, says, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Just move in here. It'll be fine. Just move in here. She's like, okay, that's fine. But the whole house is open. Anyway, so while Jane's saying, like, look, I was pouring myself a drink and I was cleaning up and I got distracted by the bins and then I got locked out, Sid, Nellie's husband, goes and fetches the ladder. And off they trot, right? Across the street, Jane, Nellie, and Sid to, you know, check out the situation and get the ladder up and everything. And it's like a wooden gate, you know, there's no gap underneath and it's about 7 foot tall. There's like a plywood nailed at the top to hold up some of the wisteria.
Yep.
And the plan, says Jane, right, is just to get up there and push out that top bit and then sneak over the gate and Bob's your uncle. No problem. Got a ladder.
Yeah.
All good.
Sounds good.
Now, Sid, who's like 65, puts up the ladder and Nellie immediately jumps up, right? Nellie jumps up the ladder and says, oh my God, this is so easy. I've got this. Give me a leg up. Now, she's in her early 70s. No one wants her going over a 7 foot gate.
No, because hips and legs can break and you know, things can happen. Yeah.
So both Jane and Sid, who are on the ground, are going, no. And Jane's like, look, I locked myself out of my house like an idiot. I'm going to do this, right? I'm way younger. I can get over that. There's no problem. But she doesn't know how to say it without sounding rude. Like saying,
hey, I don't want you to break a hip, so...
Oh, totally. Yeah. So Jane decides, going, look, this is my house. I'm doing this. Get down. I'm doing this. And she doesn't take any notice at all. She looks, in fact, at Sid. Her husband says, ignore her. She's been drinking.
Okay.
So Jane's like, for fuck's sake. Anyway, so Sid now understands that Nellie is extremely serious about going to be hopping the gate and starts kind of getting stern. So you have this kind of older couple having this weird fight ballet. Nellie is up on the ladder. Sid starts kind of holding her and saying, come on down. No, it's not safe. Come on down. And then starts tugging more firmly, and then quite hard to get her off the ladder.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And Jane's sitting there going, oh my God, what have I done? Every time she speaks to say, stop, are you guys crazy? They ignore her completely. Like she's like some weird errant child.
What weird dynamic has she accidentally awakened here? This is... nightmare fuel. Okay.
So somehow they fight over the ladder. Both Sid and Nellie fighting over the ladder. Finally, Nellie gets up there and she goes, Sid, I'm sorry. I'm doing it. And Sid starts praying. He kind of almost drops to his knees. He kind of shrinks down by a foot.
What is happening?
Please don't, please don't, please don't.
What is happening?
Nelly goes up the fucking ladder and literally drop kicks that fucking piece of plywood like a freaking ninja.
And it, drop kicks it like a roundhouse motherfucker. What? No. Okay.
She's like, I used to teach martial arts, she says.
Oh, right? Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
And she hops over it like she's made of like foam, jumps over the gate and drops down. Oh, I forgot my what do you do now?
I think I just get the popcorn out and just watch this whole thing unfold at this point. You strap in. You're in for the ride. That's how I've been while listening to this incredible story unfold. Just like, just enjoy it. Embrace the complete chaos that is happening here. Some people are just agents of chaos.
But what would happen? Okay, what would happen if Nelly falls on the other side of the lock gate?
What country are we in for the story?
In the UK. We're in the UK.
Do you have lawyers and people getting sued?
I don't know. No, we'd probably just think first, let's get
an ambulance. Emergency, yeah.
Ambulance here, which won't ruin anyone's financial credit.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. If somebody gets injured, yes, you call an ambulance. I don't think that's a stretch.
No, but what about the other way? Like, okay, so say you're Sid, right? And say, so Jane's invited you guys over. Nellie's now gone over the fence and say hurt herself as she falls over. Do you hate Jane?
That seems like a very indirect, that seems like misdirected anger if you do.
That seems crazy.
I can see people doing that, being like, you brought this upon us. She's so unhinged that of course she was going to help you or whatever. I could see some people getting mad at Jane in this situation. I think it's nuts, but yeah. Not everyone acts rationally and it's a irrational, misdirected anger situation. I would be mad at, not at Jane.
Okay, so Maria, the thing is, right, as this is our last show, this happened to me. This is my art show. This happened to me exactly.
Get out. No way. So who are you in this situation?
I'm Jane. I've just had my art show. I've locked up the house and da-da-da, poured myself a drink, got distracted by the stuff, get locked out of my house, go to the neighbors thinking they have a ladder, come over and then watch them literally almost like fight properly for about half an hour about who's going to go up, and they kept just dismissing me because I was a drunk child.
And you're just like, why do I ever ask for help? I'm never doing that again. You walked into a weird dynamic that is not your fault is what happened, but it's very entertaining. Now you know a lot more about your neighbors.
I do love both of them so much, like crazy, like crazy.
That's fun. Are they Mediterranean by any chance?
No, they're Californian.
Oh, funny. Funny, funny. Oh, gosh. That doesn't explain a damn thing. I'm just...
No, it was one of those just weird, wacky things where the whole time I was like, what do I do now? What do I do now?
I'm in a sticky pickle!
Yeah, and they're ignoring me! And on top of that, my husband was away, so I had no one to tell, right? And it was like 5 p.m. when everyone's feeding their kids. So I was just like, ah!
Help me, please, somebody. Oh my God.
That's it for this episode and the season of Sticky Pickles. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, everybody. We love you.
We do love you. I don't think we need to mention Patreon at this stage when we're going away for a while. So I think we should skip.
If they're binging later, maybe over the summer when they're missing us, patreon.com/stickypickles. Should we mention a thank you for the person who made the fan art of Sticky Pickles?
Yes,
that blew my mind. We got fan art.
We do. You're going to put it up on socials, right, Maria?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Definitely. And I will put a cross link to her Instagram in the show notes if anyone wants to see it. So thank you, Anna. Appreciate it so much. Really amazing.
Thank you, Anna. That's so nice, that fan art. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter, at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram, hashtag Sticky Pickles on the Fediverse. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
We love you. Bye. Be good.
Bye. Don't get food poisoning. Don't get food poisoning.
There we go. Got a shot.
There you go. We did it.
You did it. It's 10 to 6. You got to go.
I do. I have to have lunch in 10 minutes and then I got to call it at 1. So
go.
Carol,
I love you.
Love you.
We can always have chats, you know.
Yes, we should, because I end up missing you terribly when I don't talk to
you.
Yeah,
having a little confab doesn't even require editing, posting, anything like that. It's just a little...
Imagine a chat that doesn't require work for you afterwards.